Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. This is the first episode of 2021. Thank you for joining me. It is episode number 182, and this will be a treat. So today's guest is Kim Lee. Kim is the founder of Forge Coworking in Birmingham, Alabama. She is also one of the founders of the Birmingham Coworking Collective, which just launched in 2020. Some good things that are coming out of 2020. Kim actually had a pretty big year for 2020. She expanded her space. So her space is located in a landmark building in downtown Birmingham. She expanded her space to add event space, which was perfect timing for March of 2020. But she also helped to form the Birmingham Coworking Collective, and she launched a podcast called Building Birmingham Together. So she's going to share her story. She also celebrated an anniversary 3 years of being open. Kim is a member of the Everything Coworking Flight Group program. So I have had the pleasure of knowing her for all of those 3 years. She was one of the very first flight group members, and she's still hanging in there. And her community manager, Kelsey, is in the Community Manager University group. And you are in for a special treat. We are doing another owner community manager duo podcast series. So if you missed it, go back and listen to episodes 175 and 76. We did an owner community manager series with the La Suprema Works and Events group in Tucson, Arizona. And we've had great feedback on those episodes. So I thought I would repeat that series with Kim, and then Kelsey will be on next week. She is the community manager at Forge. So definitely don't miss out on the Tucson episodes if you miss those, and stay tuned for next week for the interview with Kelsey. So before we dive in, I just want to share with you a couple of things. Again, referring to a recent episode, episode number 180, if you were busy getting ready for the holidays and you missed it, was on how to grow your virtual office business. So if you have not yet set up your virtual office or your digital mail offering, until January 15th, I'm giving you free access to my mini course, How to Set Up a Virtual Office Program. It's usually $97, and it's included in the Community Manager University program. But until January 15th, as a New Year's gift, you can access it for free. Go to everythingcoworking.com/virtual office. And it's probably worth going through it, even if you have a virtual office program or virtual mail program. I talk to folks all the time that have started it, but could use some tweaks and could also use some additional lead gen support. So you'll find all of that in the course. So you can grab that for free until January 15th. And then if you haven't set up your mail program because you are just working on starting your own co-working space, I want to invite you to join me for my free masterclass, 3 behind-the-scenes secrets to opening a co-working space. If you are working on starting a co-working space, I want to share 3 decisions that I've seen successful operators make when they're creating their co-working business. So I've worked with dozens of co-working space operators to help them launch their businesses through the Co-working Startup School and through my role with the GWA and all of my time in networks over the past 9 years, I think it is now. I've seen a lot of behind the scenes successes and mistakes. So I want to share with you to make sure that you create your business for success. So the masterclass is totally free. It's about an hour. Please join me by registering at everythingcoworking.com/masterclass. Okay, so let's dive in to this episode with Kim Lee. Kim, thank you for joining me today. I am so excited to spend the next hour or so with you and to catch up and share your story. Yeah. I have known you for a while now, and I was finally like, I need to get Kim on the podcast.
Yeah.
You have a lot going on. So, and then we were just pre-chatting and I said, we need to start recording because there's a lot to talk about.
Well, okay. So this is really funny. I was thinking about this in the car. So I really think that this podcast was the first podcast I listened to. I think.
Ever or just your first co-working podcast?
No. I think it was really like the first podcast that I actually really listened to. I know. And so that was like 4 years ago, 3.5, 4 years ago.
You might have been my first listener, Kim. We might be both first.
But you started doing, we had not opened yet.
Right.
We were... So I don't even know the time frame, but you were advertising the flight group. So here's a little plug for how awesome the flight groups are. And so I emailed you and you like called me right away and was like, wait, you're on the podcast. So I was thinking about that today because, you know, just how great, thank you, but how great your podcast has been and being part of the flight group. And I mean, I think we've seen each other in person maybe 3 times, I value your friendship so much and all of the knowledge that you share with everybody and how you've positioned me to start my journey and to continue month by month. So, but I was thinking about that this morning. I was like, okay, I have to tell her. I really think you were the first podcast.
Funny. I know it's been a while because you must have been one of the first, maybe the first flight group members.
I don't know.
It's been years now. You've been open for 3 years.
So we opened September 2017. And I think maybe that summer is when I joined.
Yep. So I think that's right. I know. I was thinking, I was like, I won't see you this year. I was like, I just want to sit down and have a glass of wine with Kim and like catch up and talk about, you know, just talk about life.
Everything I know. Yeah.
So, but we'll get through some of it on the podcast. Well, thank you. Well, I feel like it's people like you that keep me like every week. I'm like, all right, there are people who've been listening for a while. I got to bring it.
We need it.
Totally. I love it. Okay. So tell us your co-working story. Let's talk about you.
Yeah. Okay.
What was the moment you knew you were going to open a co-working space?
Well, it was kind of a slow, steady process, but just a little bit of my backstory because it is a little unusual, I feel like. So I graduated undergrad with a degree in business and did not really think I would use my business degree. I got married after undergrad and my husband and I went to seminary and I got a master's in counseling. And I really thought I would be working with juvenile delinquents. I know, very random.
I knew that about you.
Yes. And so after graduation, when you graduate with a degree, master's in counseling, you have to do a lot of hours to get licensed. And we were headed overseas for my husband to get his PhD. Anyways, I just had to get a job. I looked for counseling, couldn't find a job. And so I just had to get a job to pay the bills. And I started working for a window washing company. It was a residential window washing company and commercial cleaning company. And my husband worked there the whole time we were in school. In St. Louis, washing windows. He was outside washing windows through the winter in St. Louis. So he is a rock star. But anyways.
That is dedication to like the long-term vision. Kim, we're washing windows. We'll get through this.
Or food or eating and gas in the car. But anyways, so that company, it was called The Kings, was just amazing. Our boss was very committed to high service, high hospitality, very much business as a service. in an industry, and those kinds of service industries don't necessarily always emphasize high hospitality. And so it just really opened my eyes to what business as a service could be. And we did, I went through the eMyth Mastery program with him. We read about, we studied the Ritz, which is where my love for the Ritz-Carlton came, and everything they do is just amazing. Disney, you know, all of these big brands, and really implemented that into our business. And so it was through that I was like, oh, I actually do like this business thing. And I did love my undergrad. Like, it was a perfect undergrad. I just didn't think I would use it. And so that's when it was like, I was doing business development and operations and really fell in love with like, oh, I actually do love business and love serving and love hospitality. How can we do this? But then we moved to Birmingham and my husband started a church. We started a family, and I didn't work for, I don't even know how many years, several years, a lot of years. But when our youngest was 4, thought, okay, I think it's time to go back. I don't really know what. So I just did some consulting and operations and like special projects development. And that's when I became aware of co-working. So I saw it in bigger cities, and that's when it was like, okay, somehow this industry brings together everything that we love: hospitality, business as a service. I love building ecosystems, community, job growth. And so it was, I actually think I could do this every day. And so then it was about probably a year to 2 year journey of just a slow, methodical process of figuring out why it wasn't in Birmingham. Had it been in Birmingham, did it fail? Did it not fail? Do people think this could happen? You know, just a long process, and and just every door kept opening and kept opening. And and then here I am today.
So I should have started with, I love starting with that question to sort of tell a story, but tell us a little bit about, right. So you ended up with Forge. What does that look like? Where are you located? Yeah.
So we are located in downtown Birmingham, and we are in a live, work, play building. It is a building, I think it's over 100 years old, and it had a $70 million renovation project that happened. And so the bottom floor is a food hall. So there's 13 different food stalls and all different types of food, different countries. There's in the basement, there's a, it's called Sidewalk Film Festival. So they do a lot of indie films, just small films. It's very cool. And then above us are 8 floors of residences. So we are the mezzanine. We are just around the perimeter looking down on the food hall. So we have glass all the way around us looking down on the food hall.
Wait, and what's the building called?
It's called the Pizzitz Building.
Yeah, I think it was your Instagram had this great photo of a member with the name of it on the t-shirt. And I was like, I can never remember how to say that word.
I know. So the Pizzitz family, it was an old department store. This building was a huge staple of Birmingham. And the Pizzitz family is a big staple family in Birmingham. So it's really cool because downtown used to be the place to come, and this building was the epicenter, like where everybody shopped. They were really known for their window decorations, especially at Christmas time. And then in the 70s, 80s, everybody left downtown. But now people are coming back downtown. And so this building is again drawing people with the food hall from all over. Yeah. So it's a great building to be a part of.
So you're downtown, live work. Who do you primarily serve at Forge as a membership?
So one of the things that we think is really great and not, I don't want to say not intentional, but it has surprised us that we have such a diversity of members in one, in the types of jobs they do, 2, in age. There's a big age range, and 3 in gender, and then in race. So, I mean, it is an amazing place for all these different people to come together. I will say most of our members are in some type of service industry. So whether it's marketing, digital, We do have a few like startups or tech companies, but it's mostly people who are serving other people through their services.
Why do you think it is that they're drawn to Forge?
Well, it's pretty awesome.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I think one, downtown is a big draw right now. Our little suburbs are not that far from downtown. So it's relatively easy to get to. There is a surge in Birmingham. There's a tech surge. And so a lot of people want to be downtown. I think also, I was just talking with Kelsey, our community manager. I think that the environment here, people come to Forge and actually work and like get work done, but also just the magic of co-working really has happened here, where people, the relationships that they have, there's not many other spaces where people are all coming to build something new, and then are able to interact with each other and share ideas. Several people have launched new ventures together or used each other to help their businesses grow. So, and especially now, I mean, it's sad now, like this is recording in COVID. So It's sad now that not much of that is happening just across the board, not just at Forge, but yeah, I think that, and just the way when people come realizing, what can happen just from being here, and just, you know, really the fact that we all know now of being able to get out of your house and have somewhere that's really nice and professional. It's easy for people to get to. There's food, like there's just a lot of draws, but really the people here are just really great too.
And I think that will carry through once we get through this phase and we're at least starting to get some good news on a vaccine and
yes,
a tough next couple of months. But after that, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I just think people will, especially if they experienced that at all before and have been missing it. I know I do. Like, I cannot wait to be with people and get that energy and just that support. So hopefully that mojo will come back bigger and better than before.
That's
so
right.
You also did an expansion during COVID. So tell us about kind of the layout, the size of the space, your product mix, and then what drove your expansion?
When we started Forge, the ownership of the building came to us. And so we had talked to them at the beginning and was like, I knew the VP of leasing and he said, you could come to Forge to the Pizzitz. I was like, you know, we can't do that. But you know, anybody who starts a business, you know, you want, the perfect way to do it is to start small and then expand. And really, we didn't know how that would be possible with co-working, and we're looking for smaller places that you wouldn't necessarily be able to expand in. But with this building, we were able to kind of grow as we go, which was amazing. I mean, we couldn't have started in a better way. So we started out with 5,000 square feet, and then we grew to around 9,000 square feet. And that was, we have our lobby is very big. And with the expansion, we were actually able to utilize more of that space. So we'll get to that. But, and then it was open workspace, conference rooms, and offices. So we ended up after like our second phase was complete, I think we had 15 offices, and then dedicated desks. We had 25 dedicated desks lining the hall across from the offices. But we were really full. And so we had one side, we are a giant square. So we had one side of the square left. And we had gotten to the point where we were kind of busting at the seams. And when I designed the space, we had a lot of hard seating because I knew if we put couches in, then one person would sit there and take up all of that space. So it was really, okay, we need to maximize the space we have. Our open space was not huge, so it had to be done very in a smart way. And so with the expansion, we really wanted to accomplish several things. One, we wanted to provide extra seats. Two, we wanted to provide people a different way to work. So there's lots of philosophies about how people work. Mm-hmm. And with different kinds of work, you work in different kinds of ways. And so we basically had all hard seating. So we wanted to bring in soft seating for people to be able to gather together, you know, check email or read a book. And then in the lobby, we wanted to be able to utilize our lobby more. So we brought in, we got three of the Nook booths.
I forgot about that. So I can picture your Instagram now. Those are so amazing. I would you would park my butt in one of those all day long.
Well, so originally, you know, they were going to be meeting nooks because what we didn't have, because we are just a big square, we had no little places for people to tuck away and have a private conversation. And we had this big lobby that wasn't really being used. And so that's what the intention of the nooks were for people to be able to kind of break away and have a private conversation without having to pay for a conference room. But they got added after COVID. And so now people are just there all day, which is okay. But when things go back to normal, we will be adding signs.
We'll have to crack
that
down.
Put a time limit.
Have to be, policing.
That's right. Yeah. So we don't have to deal with that yet. People love them. I mean, they really are great. If we had all the money, we would get more, but we don't. But then in our other, we added an event space.
I'm glad you can laugh about that right now, Kim.
Yes, you can only laugh, but it is where all the soft seating is. We have two large community tables. So the idea is that during the day, it's a co-working space, and then it can be rented during the day and totally rearranged. So we have
super flexible.
We have classroom tables and chairs, and it can seat up to 150 people. So it was really a great idea. It just happened at the wrong time. But I mean, the bright side is that now the people who are here, I mean, there is plenty of room to space out.
They're doing laps. There's no problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we didn't have this side as open, then, if we didn't have the side as open, then in our existing co-working space, it probably would have felt a little tight. So
the density would be a challenge.
Yeah.
Well, but you are ready. And with the food hall downstairs, I mean, I think you'll have a big draw when people are ready to gather again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit. You've got now, you added on space.
So we have 13, 13,000 square feet.
So this may look different, not during COVID, but what does your team look like to support that space? And what might it look like if you had the event space online?
March 15th, our staff we have a full-time community marketing manager. And then we hired in December a part-time hospitality and events coordinator. So her role was going to really be we were having a lot of booking, a lot of conference rooms, and the events were picking up. Yeah. And so really to have a touch point for all of those, to be able to reach out, see their needs, because before it was just a lot.
Yeah.
And then we had people who were on call. They were just hourly on call. They weren't guaranteed times for after hours events and bookings. Yeah. And we had about four people. So we would just put it in Slack, who's available. And the first person came and filled the role. And Caitlin was our part-time hire, and we were very ready for that. So I think it was very, and probably she could have increased her hours at that point when we expanded.
Caitlin's on hold now, I suspect.
Well, she still is part-time. She is just not a hospitality events coordinator anymore. She actually is super detailed and very conscious about everything that's going on. And so she put into place our health and safety standards.
She's your protocol girl.
She has done so much. So we are both very thankful. You know, it's so funny because busy wise, there's not as many people here, but we still feel like we're still doing all the things. So there's still so to do.
And 13,000 square feet is a lot of space for Kelsey and a half to manage. So talk about your role on the team. You have a husband, three kids, two dogs, three busy kids.
Yeah.
Kim posts actively on her personal social account. Sometimes her carpooling duties are aggressive.
So. They've gotten much more aggressive because my mom is not around us. So yes. Right.
So how much time do you spend in the space? You know, how do you check in with the team to make sure everybody's lined up? What does that look like? And I ask because I think it's interesting for other owners to understand, like, what does that role look like and how do others manage it? So share whatever you'd like.
Okay. So I knew from the beginning, just because, like you said, a mom, three kids, that there was no way. And even my husband was like, you can't do this if you're the one who's there all the time. Like, we can't do it. And so I knew, like, that was always going to, there was always, before we opened, we had Kelsey, like, there was always going to be somebody who ran the day-to-day of the space. And she does the marketing as well. Most of the, all of the day-to-day content. And so, it, you know, this is, there's pre-COVID Kim and COVID Kim. Yeah. But so what it was is I was in the space typically 3 to 4 days a week. I had one day a week that I was home just to work away from Forge because, you know, I love people and and then, you know, take over problems that I shouldn't be taking over. And so I would have one day a week where I was just at home, just working. And then a couple days a week, I think 2 or 3 days a week, my mom would pick up the kids. So I was here all day those days. So now it looks different. Our kids have been virtual. They've been part-time. Now they go 4 days a week. So I guess I'm almost here 4 days a week, but they're different with carpool and all of that. But we have a great team. And So my role is, I don't do the day-to-day, but more just strategy. We have a weekly meeting. We're very active on Slack. We have some interns now, so providing directions for them. Mm. And they've been great. And then, like, a lot of the strategy for marketing, running the campaigns, doing that. And then also trying to stay really involved in the Birmingham community and building relationships and doing all of that sort of branding for Forge.
I know you were kind of on the webinar campaign trail during COVID in Birmingham. I think I told Kim on LinkedIn's algorithm now thinks maybe I live in Birmingham because
that's hilarious.
Whatever you were, you know, doing, and I'd like it or comment on it and they're like, oh, you like Birmingham. Let's tell you more. So I'd get all
things. So you get all the things. Yes.
But that's how active you were. So it's. And we'll talk about kind of your podcast. Well, I'm curious though, because I think you're an operator. Not all operators are quite as engaged in sort of the ecosystem and the broader community. So I sort of wonder, you know, how do you do it all? You guys do have at least pre-COVID, a very full calendar of events, both external community, internal community, and you have been very engaged and are now starting a podcast, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But what was kind of behind that and how has that been, you know, both rewarding and challenging?
Yeah. So I guess my pie in the sky vision for Forge has always been that we want to support the ecosystem in Birmingham, and we want to do what we can to help grow small businesses, entrepreneurs, support them and what they're doing. So that has always been the driving force, because I believe that that as members of Forge, as they grow and their businesses grow, they hire more people. Mm-hmm. Those people have more money to spend in the city. Yeah. Those businesses benefit. So, I mean, that's where it's like, you know, very rosy
development and
but I do believe that that can happen. I mean, it happens when businesses grow. And so Forge is just its own little incubator of businesses growing. And So that's how our members can go out and impact the community. So part of that is that we want to serve people who even aren't members. And so that's where the education piece came in. So most of our, we did do a lot of lunch and learns, and most of those, most of them were free, and they were because we know that small business owners don't have the time and a lot of times the financial resources for the education that a lot of people who are working for larger companies can get. Or if your company's large and you're the owner, you can go do. These business owners are really just hustling, and most of them have other jobs and are still just trying to soak up as much as they can. So our lunch and learns were really our way to provide content for our members, but also to give back to the ecosystem in Birmingham. So the original tagline that I had thought of for Forge was building Birmingham together. And really with that idea that we are all working to build Birmingham as we grow, and as we, the collective, everybody grow, Birmingham will become a better city. And so that's the title of the podcast. Which is
good. Okay.
Yeah. So, it never really was our tagline for Forge. It just didn't work out, but I was excited to use it as a podcast because the podcast is where I get to interview other, business leaders and organization leaders and hear what they're doing in the city that's helping the city grow. So,
okay. Since you brought up the podcast, we have to talk about it. Do you think, so what's the goal for the podcast? What's your why for that?
Yeah. So I love to listen to podcasts and I really love, I will go and listen to any entrepreneur really, or business owner, tell their story and learn from that. And so the why is there's a couple. One is so that people can hear what other people are doing and some of the backstory. So, I just interviewed a girl, a lady who's a member at Forge. And if you look at her now, it's like, she's got it going on. Like she's got a marketing firm. She just launched a digital membership, training program.
Well, I need to listen to that one. I saw you mention it somewhere and I was like, oh, I'm curious about this woman.
Yes. So, she's awesome. But it was a long road to get to where she was. And she worked full time and did it on the side and then just sort of flip flopped between full time and part time and then went with her marketing full time. And so it's easy to look at her now and just be like, oh, well, she just has it going on. But to hear the stories and how people got to where they are, just to encourage people who are listening that, it does take work and be encouraged to keep going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one. Also, there are pretty amazing things going on in our city with people who are just doing great things, working hard. So really to highlight what people are doing and how to make our city better. So those are the two big reasons.
Do you think that COVID accelerated this idea of doing the podcast?
Yes. Yeah. So I've thought about it for a very long time. And Kelsey has told me before, you should do this. But
it's honestly, a lot of work. Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And thinking, is it worth it to
the 80-20, right? I mean, you were one that said, if I want to do more, where does that come in?
Where does it come from? Yes. Yeah. And so, but it just is definitely the time. I don't know, regardless of if it was busy or not, it's still just the time to tell people's stories, especially because it is really hard. And so some of the stories, it's hard not to talk about COVID and how they've adjusted, but for people who are listening, who might be discouraged, it is helpful to hear what other people are doing. So, I think I would have continued to put it off, but I am glad that I'm doing it, but it did feel like a really, really big, big deal.
Yeah. It's a lot to get in front of and to get all the systems down and the processes down, and if you're not super comfortable, I mean, you were already doing a lot of outreach and webinars and sort of in that mode of, yeah, you have to put yourself out there a lot. So
yeah,
it's not a fit for everyone. I don't think the types of events you were hosting, not a fit for everyone either. I mean,
right.
You're doing intensive programming and, you know, you've kind of got your event framework, education, networking. Not everyone thinks that way or has the same why to do that. Do you think your events and the podcast will positively impact Forge's business?
I don't know. I think one of the advantages of doing the podcast is that it does take me into different audiences. So the people who I interview, you know, they might share it and it would, you know, give me a broader audience. So I do think that we, you know, have always wanted to be involved in the community enough and supporting enough small businesses or organizations that help small businesses, where when people think of starting a business, that they think of us as a place like, oh, well, I have to do it at Forge. Mm-hmm. So I do think helping to tell other stories will just keep that going and, you know, give us avenues to be able to serve the community better.
Yep. Yeah. I love that. So you've been in business for 3 years now, besides the global pandemic. What do you find to be most challenging about running a co-working space?
Oh, I forgot to think about this question. You know, I mean, it seems like a very simple business model, and it really is. I mean, it is a simple business model. You know, like we provide space, we have conference rooms, and we have offices.
If you're trying to reverse engineer it, it's pretty easy to put on paper.
Yeah, it is. But to actually be effective and to serve people well and to build a community, it's just a lot. It's a lot of things. And I wouldn't say that any of the things are super difficult, but it's just a lot of things to keep going. So, I mean, I think that's probably the hardest of keeping this business going. It's just a lot.
It's really operationally intensive, and you have to really nail the execution of it and the marketing and all the things. I say exactly that to people all the time. Like, look, you can reverse engineer it and figure it out. That part's not hard.
No. But, and I think, I mean, I have to think that even 5 years ago, just the way that any business now has to market is so different, because there's maybe 10, I don't know how, anyways, but there's just, marketing is just a lot. And when you have a lean staff and having to keep on top of it and be all the places, because we want to be, and that's how people know about us. But it's just a lot.
Yep, for sure. What do you find most rewarding about owning a co-working space?
Oh man, I remember it was like the second week we were open, and I had, talked to so many people in Birmingham, and my goal was just to talk to as many people as I could and get as much honest feedback as I could, because I didn't want to start a business where everybody was telling me no, or, you know, not thinking about all these obstacles along the way that other people could see clearly. So I would tell people, you know, the magic of what would make co-working so great is the community, and people have a place to be and they don't feel isolated at home. But the second week, I can remember a guy got off of the elevator and he said, I'm just so excited to be here, a place that's my own. And it was like, oh, it really works. You know, I had been telling people for so long, like a year and a half, and then I knew it would, but to hear somebody express all those things I had been saying was pretty amazing. And so, I mean, we continue to get stories like that all the time, which is pretty great. And then seeing people who start new things together at Forge is, it's pretty great.
Yeah. Kim, with your background in counseling, do you think the sort of loneliness and mental health challenges of being at home will accelerate people wanting to be back? And will people get that? Or is that a hard dot for people to connect?
I feel like we're just in a funny place, just kind of worldwide. Yeah. Or at least everybody who I talk to, where it's just almost, we just have to make it through. And right now it's fine to be at home. So we just have to make it through. And I do think there are people who are really suffering in kids and adults, but a lot of people are just trying to make it through. And I think on the other side, we're going to see the impact of just survive, just making it, whatever that looks like. If it's at home in our PJs, if it's, you know, at work by yourself, I think we're going to see the effect of that long term. But right now, I think a lot of people are just hunkered down. What can we do to get through?
Yeah.
And that has a big impact on lots of industries and organizations where people work.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So in addition to building Forge, you've taken on some other projects, including Birmingham Works, which is, well, I'll let you describe it. Tell us, you know, what it does and the why for that.
So it's Birmingham Coworking Collective.
Is that your URL?
No, one of the groups is called Works.
Yep. That's
so Birmingham Coworking Collective, and it was actually came out of GWA and our flight group, the idea for it. So it's an association for Birmingham coworking space owners, and now it's greater. But my involvement in the GWA and then with all the relationships through the flight groups, which bled over into GWA, the industry, the co-working industry, really, I think, is pretty amazing. The people and the owners and the way that people will collaborate or share information. And so when we opened, I think there was one or two other spaces, but more spaces are opening. So I really wanted to bring that same environment and atmosphere to Birmingham space owners that I had experienced in the GWA and having the support and community worldwide, really not very worldwide for me, but, you know, that kind of support in an organization that's huge, but really has made a big impact on me and Forge. And so I wanted to bring that locally to Birmingham. So it was a long process, longer than I wanted, but again, the time to get things done. But I brought everybody together and just told them my idea, and everybody was very excited about it. And so we spent a while coming up with our mission, why we're doing it, what we wanted it to look like, who it was for. And in the process, I talked with you about it, and the GWA was actually forming local chapters, and we had gotten to the point where we had everything in line, except for we just didn't really know how to organize and how to actually organize. And if we were ever to take money, how we would do that.
Yeah.
And just the legal fees and the accounting, all of that, nobody really wanted to tackle. Or we didn't know. It felt like a big hurdle. And so when we found out about the local chapters of the GWA, it was like everybody was, and not everybody, I think I was the only member. Oh no, I think Works was a member at that point too. But everybody was 100% like, yes, let's let them handle that. We will all be GWA members. So
Birmingham Coworking Collective is our beta local chapter.
Yeah.
The GWA there used to be kind of a framework, and then it sort of dissolved and it just hasn't been a priority. And I think we've been thinking about it for a while, but in particular, because there was no annual conference this year, we wanted people to be able to support each other locally and have what you talked about, that connection. And it is so unique. People who are from real estate backgrounds will come to like the GWA conference and they're like, people share so much because they aren't used to this. Like, sure, we'll tell you whatever you ask, you know, pretty much we'll tell you how it is.
Yep. Yeah.
And especially locally, you went for that sort of better together, you know, rising tides. What is it? Rising tides.
Raise all ships.
I always get that wrong.
I know.
Versus thinking
it's high tide, high tide.
High tides rise all boats.
Yeah.
All ships. Instead of saying, you know, being nervous about new competition and this abundance mindset of let's work together. Yep. I love that.
Yeah. And I mean, so we were supposed to kick off April 1st, And we had, you know, an idea. We didn't have it actually planned out, but it was going to be in person. It was going to be here, you know, like we were going to have balloons and champagne and all the things. So that didn't happen. And we actually, we just launched last month, but because we were already had been meeting just to build the bones of the organization, we actually, you know, a lot at the beginning, just were able to get together virtually and just talk about what's going on and just, how are you doing?
What another support network.
And so it ended up, it was very timely then to be able to have other people to talk to and hear from.
So what are the benefits? Mostly owner networking. Will your members have any benefits across the spaces?
Yeah, no, we didn't do that. I mean, primarily because it just feels like it would be really difficult to keep up with. And we didn't want one space taking the brunt, you know, like it just, there's not. So ours is for the ownership, but also we created a passport. And so this is not a new idea to us, but so people can get a co-working collective passport, and it gives them 2 weeks to try out all the different spaces.
Oh,
because really, so they sign up, they get an email, tells them how to do it. They can go to all the different spaces within a 2 week time period, because I, and all the other spaces agree, like we want the person who joins Forge to know that this is the space for them. We don't want somebody to come. And our memberships are month to month, but it's still a 2 month minimum. So to pay for 2 months and be like, oh, this is not for me. So the passport allows them to really experience all the different spaces and to really encourage it, because we offer day pass. I mean, we let somebody try out Forge, anybody who wants to, we let them try it out, but it also allows them to try the other spaces to really get the right fit. So that's the two big benefits.
Yeah, I love it. So how often will you meet? What is kind of the structure of the organization?
Yeah, I think we'll meet probably 3 or 4 times a year. So we had one, well, we were supposed to meet in person and then COVID struck our family. So it was Zoom, but we had our first meeting via Zoom, but one of the spaces has an outdoor patio that we were going to meet at. So we're actually going to meet either this week or next week, just for lunch, like no agenda, just to meet that piece of the puzzle. But so I'm not quite sure what it will look like. I do know that being under the umbrella of the GWA, there'll be like, we'll have education. I mean, there's certain things that we'll have to do every meeting, but the next one is not for a couple of months.
Totally. So, no, I love it though.
Figure it out.
You're creating something that serves you, which doesn't necessarily mean meeting constantly. Everybody has enough on their plates to be a support network. So
yeah,
I didn't even
know. Another thing that we really loved about being under the GWA umbrella is it would ensure that this organization would go beyond me.
Right. Any individual owner.
Yep. Or practice works. Yeah. Like if Forge is gone or if I'm gone, like the organization will still continue. So that was a huge point for all of us.
There's a legacy there. Yes. I will in the show notes, make a note of who to reach out to if you're interested in creating something similar, because I think the GWA is slowly yet similar to what you're doing, testing. What does this look like? You know, how does this work? And, you know, feeling it out so that they can be as supportive as possible, but do it right and make sure the the legal and accounting pieces are humming along smoothly. So
yes. And I mean, I talked to a lot of people who had done this in their cities. So if I'm happy to talk to anybody, answer any questions. Yeah. Because I talked to a lot of people. So
Greg Bowdy in Denver, probably. And Melissa from Kansas City, Melissa Sauber.
Yes. Maybe. Yes. Yeah. And there was somebody else. I don't know. It was probably like 2 years ago. I mean, it's been a year and a half at least. Yeah.
Things take longer than we think they will. What do they say? Like you get less done things just take longer.
Yeah.
Than we think they will, but congratulations.
Well, thanks.
Done. Yeah.
It's done. I know. So when we started, it was like, we're just going to start. Like, this is not the launch we wanted. We wanted to do something big, but you know what? We're just going to do it. I put a press release out that I was a little too early for GWA, but I won't do it again. Oh, that's right. Now I know.
Approvals, right? If you're under the umbrella, you have to get somebody to look at that. Yeah,
didn't even think about that. We were just going for it. So
I wouldn't have either. Totally.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your team. And I love the note that Kelsey has the community manager and marketing hat explicitly. I think we've been talking a lot about community manager roles. And that's obviously a big focus for her role. And you guys, I always thought you had marketing in your background because you do such a great job. You know, you're always kind of thinking about marketing, testing, Google ads, Facebook ads. You publish a newsletter. I'm now on your newsletter list, by the way. So I'm getting emails from Kim. Social media, all the things have always, your website, people are probably sick of me. I had to have you on the podcast because I'm always like, and here's how Forge does this. It's a best practice. And I know we can give Kevin Whelan credit.
Big credit there. Yes.
All of those things. But you actually execute and you implement, and you're still actually, I pull you up in my, I do a masterclass and I talk a little bit about marketing, and I always use your website as a best practice example.
Oh, good.
Just talking about Forge.
Well, we are always working on it. That is for sure.
So social, newsletter, website's got all the things. Easy to book, easy to understand. Talk to Kelsey. You've tested ads. What typically are kind of some of your better events? Events is a big part of your marketing mix, but maybe not. Some marketing, some otherwise. What activities typically work best for you outside of COVID? We won't talk about COVID times.
Well, I mean, I think honestly, minus the events, it's pretty much the same.
Sticking to the fundamentals.
Yeah. And I wish there was a, it's really everything. So, you know, they say in marketing that it takes like 7 to 10 touches for somebody to be a buyer. Yeah. And so we just try to do that. We are very active on Instagram. We have, you know, a pretty good following there and get responses from there. We send out a newsletter and that helps. We do ads, which just drives traffic to the website. So really all of it, it just all plays into each other, which is not
your Google My Business listing. I think I use that as a good example because you're usually pretty good about keeping up with that. Although people really fell apart over the last 6 months. So
yes, I actually did, was a part of a webinar and I thought it was going to be SEO because I wanted to check the guy out to see if he would do something at Forge. But it was Google My Business. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just listen to this anyways.
And
realized, oh my goodness, our prices are old and we haven't updated. You know, it's like, oh, forgot about this. So it's just all, there's just a lot of things. But I didn't even take any marketing classes, but I do love all of that. And it's kind of a puzzle and just trying to do all the things that are going to propel you to go forward.
It's, you know, I did the 80-20 podcast and I was thinking about the marketing piece. It's challenging to sort of pick what really drives the business. To your point, it's often a layer. I mean, you need to do, the basics and active searchers, but I'm a big fan of the newsletter, the podcast idea. I actually think, again, not for everybody. I think that will pay some dividends because it's that layer of beyond the active searchers, right? Because I think that's especially today. And as we emerge from COVID, trying to attract users who aren't aware of co-working, didn't think about it before, even people starting businesses, like you're still in a smaller market and people are learning. I was on a prep call for the GWA conference that's coming up and, The CEO of Workbar in Boston has been in the industry forever. She's not the founder, but she's the CEO. And she said she feels like it's like 2001 when people would come in and be like, oh my God, this is the best idea ever. I should have thought of this. Like it's a brand new idea, you know, because it's this whole segment of people who are at home and just, you know, not the entrepreneurs and the start who think of like, oh, where would I have my office? And they kind of get co-working. She's like, it's 2001 again. Nobody knows about co-working.
I know.
So, the more channels, you have to be careful about spreading yourself too thin.
And we do stick to like, I started out with a Twitter account. We're not active on Twitter. Like,
I don't do Twitter either. I can't take it.
We're good at Instagram, so we do that. And we're not even as active on Facebook besides running ads. I mean, we post things there. But Instagram, like if we were going to choose one social media, that's what has been good for us.
Where the people are.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's delivering.
And I will say one other thing. Sorry. what has also made a big impact for us and will continue to is we do try to align ourselves with other organizations that are supporting other business owners. Yep. So like groups that are helping people go through like an accelerator or that we align ourselves with them and we want to support the work that they're doing. So a lot of times it'll look like a free membership for their members or they can host events here or doing those kinds of things.
I love that. Kim, I'm going to let you go because it is the top of the hour and I actually have a chat with Kelsey, your manager coming up.
I think it's great.
I'll just share as a promo. I think people are always really curious about what do community managers do? What hats do they wear? What type of profile do they have? How do they interface with the owner? And so I know Kelsey's in the community manager university group. And so I've gotten to know her a little bit and you've in the flight group talked about her for a long time and said many good things about her. So I'm excited to kind of share.
Well, I can't wait to hear what she
has to say. Right. The expert.
Well, I will say, she is really great. So she does so much.
Yeah. And I think people are always curious, what do really great community managers look like? So I'm excited to help show her off and tell her story, like you said. But thank you. I feel like I could talk to you for another hour.
I know. That's the hard part about this.
We'll have to have you back on. Wait, is the podcast live yet?
Today we are recording on November 17th and we launched our intro. So the first episode will be next Tuesday, which I don't even know the date,
it's
called Building Birmingham Together.
Okay, great. So we can find that. I'm going to subscribe to it ASAP. We'll put the link in the show notes so that everybody can check it out. So we'll have to have you back on. You'll be a returning guest so we can dig into some other topics,
I'll have to have you on Building Birmingham Together.
I know my honorary residency.
That's right.
Things I have.
That's right. Well, okay. Thank you so much. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay. Bye.